Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces on KTALLP 101.5 Las Cruces. And for the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Norm Gaum, former Interstate Stream Commission chairman and an expert on water issues. He recently gave a presentation to the
Unitarian Universalist.
I'm having a morning. On the recent Supreme Court verdict in the water case between New Mexico, Texas, and the country of Mexico. Norm, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Walt.
We spoke with Norm several years ago when the Gila diversion project was making its way through the legislature. Unfortunately, that eventually came to its end. But you are somebody who we have trusted for a long time on this issue, and you are sort of raising a red flag now as to what we should expect coming away from this court decision.
Well, that's right, Walter. The era of cheap and easy water supplies in the lower Rio Grande in New Mexico, you know, the area below Elephant Butte Dam to the state line, it's not going to be the same again. The United States Supreme Court's approval of the settlement that ended 13 years of litigation with Texas and the United States is going to have a major effect on all water users in New Mexico, south of Elephant Butte Dam.
Can you talk a little bit about the process moving forward? Like everything, it's not going to happen overnight. So the court has made its decision. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, I'm just going to give you a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of background.
Please.
A dispute with Texas over the waters of the lower Rio Grande, the waters that are released from Elephant Butte Dam, Cavallo Dam, has been going pretty hot and heavy for almost 30 years now. And in 2013, Texas sued New Mexico. The United States joined them. And 13 years later, we now have a settlement that was worked out, behind closed doors. It was presented publicly and then to the Supreme Court, who approved it without changes. But what it requires is that New Mexico must deliver the Texas and United States share of water to El Paso. And that's not going to be an easy task, and it's going to cause major disruptions in New Mexico.
We'll go ahead and expand on that a little bit. How soon will we start seeing those? And it once fully imposed, what are we looking at?
Well, I don't think we know what we're looking at quite yet, because the settlement requires outcomes. New Mexico has to deliver the Texas share to El Paso. You know, that's an outcome. There's going to be some leeway around that. And the story is going to play out over, I would say, the next 5 to 10 years. But basically, New Mexico is going to have to, I believe, rather dramatically cut back all the groundwater pumping. And if you look at the amount of water that's coming into Elephant Butte and that is released from Cavallo, you know, it's substantially decreased. And one of the problems is, even though the water supply has gone down a full one-third, you know, from the water supplies that we experienced 50 years ago, we're still trying to maintain the same or even greater uses now. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come to a stop. The situation, maybe I can explain by referring to the press release that the state issued 2 days after the Supreme Court approved the settlement on May 26th. So the state issued a press release, and the governor is quoted as saying one thing that's true and one thing that's not. The true thing is, she says, water is the foundation of New Mexico's agricultural economy and the lifeblood of communities across the southern part of our state. That's absolutely true. And then she says, the settlement means farmers in the lower Rio Grande can plan for the future. Communities have certainty about their water supply.
Yeah.
And then she says, one other thing that's true, New Mexicans aren't on the hook for a huge liability that it could have cost us billions. But what the settlement provides is the certainty of major disruptions in New Mexico that have not been worked out. And the basic issue is that EBID farmers have been granted a senior water right.
Right.
That in the kind of climate and river flows that we're seeing these days, the river flows are not enough to even supply EBID farmers sustainably. And the court to determine the seniority of water rights has said that the city of Las Cruces of water rights and the New Mexico State University water rights are junior. Well, here's the big issue. If the water that's coming in is not enough for the irrigators, then there's nothing left over under New Mexico's legal system for the municipalities and the university and all the commercial and industrial entities, you know, that have grown up way after Elephant Butte Irrigation District was formed.
The settlement
provides a framework, I would say an interstate framework for the solution, but it doesn't tell New Mexico what it will do. And so we're still waiting on the state to tell us what they have in mind.
But I think it's
going to be incredibly difficult.
The contracts that these farmers have with EBID for the water, do they contain any kind of a clause saying that in case of a water shortage, then X happens? Or did whoever signed them just say, oh, it's going to be great forever?
Well, I'm not aware of any contract that EBID farmers have with EBID. But as members of the district, you know, they have their rights to EBID water. And what New Mexico state law says, if you're first in time, you're first in right. Your right's better than anybody that came after you. And the court has decided that EBID's rights are, except for maybe a few small exceptions, the most senior. And so what has to be worked out is a way that everybody else in the lower Rio Grande can work out an agreement with the Bureau of Reclamation, you know, who owns Elephant Butte Dam and the diversion dams in New Mexico, and EBID farmers to transfer some of their allotment to municipal and industrial use. And money will, I mean, water rights need to be exercised on behalf of the people. People can't do without water. And I think no court would ever cut off schools and hospitals and you know, communities from the water that they need for you know, human uses, human rights to water. But I think it's going to get messy.
You kind of anticipated what was going to be my next question, and that is that we do have this, like, in my opinion, so many of our laws are based on what was best for the country or for the state in the 1800s. And we've got this use it or lose it policy, and it seems like no incentive for conservation and first in line policy, where it just seems like it doesn't accommodate for the modern realities. And I guess my question is all of that ingrained in the Constitution, or Is it something that theoretically the legislature could change if they had the desire to?
Well, the first in time, first in right, and the principles of what's called prior appropriation, first in time, first in right, are in the Constitution. And they're in state law, and they're basically in our culture. Yeah. Actually, our culture is to avoid priority administration because it's such a blunt tool, you know, to apply for the very reasons that just summarized for the Lower Rio Grande. You know, you have economic interest and municipalities and universities and institutions who came later. You know, they weren't around in 1903. But the state law and constitution doesn't provide for them to get water except through a deal with a farmer who has the superior rights.
Right.
And that's what's going to play out in the Lower Rio Grande. Now, one of the things the settlement did is to make other uses other than irrigation of the water that comes out of Cavallo Dam, is to authorize other uses besides irrigation. So literally, until the settlement was signed, federal law prevented EBID from, prevented the Bureau of Reclamation from allowing the waters of the Rio Grande Project, which is what the whole development of Elephant Butte and EBID and Cavallo and the El Paso District, that's what it's called, the Rio Grande Project. Well, before the settlement, the Rio Grande Project was authorized only for irrigation. That is the only use of water out of that reservoir that's recognized in federal law. That's now changed. Up to 100,000 acre feet per year can be used with payment on a leased basis by junior users such as the city of Las Cruces.
And so moving ahead, you see more of that happening? I'll jump to the chase here. At what point in time do you envision any kind of moratorium on things like new pecan orchards, new golf courses, that kind of thing?
New data centers.
Well, I certainly don't anticipate this as long as we have our current governor. I think it's going to take time for the state to actually decide what it thinks about this and what it's going to do. Now, one of the things that there are a couple of points here I think are important for your listeners. In 2003, the legislature passed a law that said that it basically said that compliance with compacts is imperative. That's actually a quote. And it went on to say that the state engineer must, you know, comply with compacts. Well, the lawsuit landed 10 years later, and now we're out of it, and we have to comply with the compact. But the law says that the state engineer has to use priority administration or an agreement between the parties. Now, before the settlement was released to the public, which happened last August, August 2025, the city of Las Cruces and NMSU both filed briefs with the United States Supreme Court asking them to wait until the negotiations to figure out how Las Cruces and NMSU were going to get water with their junior water rights until those negotiations were completed. Well, the Supreme Court didn't wait. But what it did do is mandate negotiations that are going on right now behind closed doors between EBID, the Bureau of Reclamation, the state of New Mexico, and EBID to figure that out, to figure out if they can reach an agreement that will then be the basis of how we move forward. Those negotiations aren't due to be completed till the end of October. And the United States put another condition on New Mexico. It said that 2 years after the settlement came into effect, New Mexico would have to submit a detailed plan about how it would comply. So even though the settlement is final, New Mexico's compliance plan to comply with the settlement has not, it's still beginning.
Right.
They're in negotiations. Right. Those are secret. We don't know the outcome.
Does the
we will soon, but we can predict from hydrology and the terms of the settlement what's going to happen. And as a water expert, I've looked into that. And one of the reasons that I'm interested in letting people know about this is because I think the state is doing, so far, a poor job of that.
Does the Supreme Court settlement or anything else make a differentiation between surface water and groundwater, or are we going to have to like pump up groundwater and send it to El Paso?
That's an excellent question. So the settlement encompasses both surface water and groundwater, and it mandates that the state acquire, that's the verb, acquire, 18,200 acre feet of groundwater rights within the next 10 years. And I see that as kind of a down payment, because what's going to happen, rather than pump groundwater to deliver to Texas, as you just suggested, Jamie, the settlement requires that New Mexico reduce its groundwater pumping so that that pumping won't intercept the river's flows and they will make it to El Paso. The settlement does two things. It says that New Mexico has to deliver at El Paso the United States and Texas shares of the releases from Caballo. And it also says that New Mexico is going to have to restore the ability of the river to deliver water downstream, because there's been so much groundwater pumping. Now, Elephant Butte holds at capacity about 2.2 million acre feet. The state engineer's experts, I should say, but I'm thinking about one individual in particular who really, is supremely qualified and has dug into this a lot. She estimates that groundwater pumping in New Mexico in the lower Rio Grande has removed 1.5 million acre feet from the aquifer. Now, that hole, so to speak, in the groundwater table causes the river to leak more. So New Mexico is going to have to curtail groundwater pumping so the river will deliver the Texas share naturally, so to speak.
In my recollection, several years ago when they had a similar ruling on the Pecos, was the state was just buying up land all over the place just to get the water rights. Do you envision the same kind of thing happening here?
Well, yes and no. The state is required to acquire 18,200 acre feet of water rights. Now, if you read the settlement is 130 pages that includes a United States Supreme Court decree and injunction against New Mexico, and it also includes four agreements, complex agreements between the parties. In order to understand what the settlement does, you have to read those five agreements together and study them. And I've been working on that. And the reason is I'm with a nonprofit called the New Mexico Water Advocates. We think it's important to get to the point where we are living within our means with regard to water across the state. Well, the settlement requires the Lower Rio Grande to do that, to live within its means. And so much of the total water use in the Lower Rio Grande is beyond that. That's what has caused this great removal of storage from the aquifer, almost three-quarters of a full Elephant Butte.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be restored, and it's going to take time and money, and it's going to be very, very difficult. Now, the settlement has EBID's fingerprints in the language. For example, the settlement codifies, you know, turns into enforceable language multiple ways that people can pay EBID farmers to get water across the state line. However, the state retains its ability to administer water by priority or by the agreement that hasn't yet been reached between the New Mexico parties and the feds. So until we have a plan and an agreement and these negotiations are completed, we don't know if the state will choose to continue to pay or require other people to pay, or whether there will be priority administration, or whether there will be an agreement between the parties that certainly will involve money changing hands.
You said something about
this. I said earlier that until the settlement, it was not legal for Cavallo Dam water under federal law to be used for anything other than irrigation. Now it is, but it's only on a leased basis, and it will involve compensation unless we reach an agreement. So what did the settlement settle? It settled New Mexico's obligations.
Right.
What didn't it settle? The way that New Mexico will meet those obligations. But everybody should know that water use, total water use in the Lower Rio Grande, south of Elephant Butte Dam in New Mexico, will go down substantially from what it's been, because the water use is not sustainable. And the compact requires, in order to make the downstream deliveries, that the upstream uses are sustainable. And that means they don't take water that belongs to somebody else downstream. And they're not pumping out the groundwater so that the river flows into the groundwater system instead of downstream.
Quick question. You said the state had solved this problem once before by buying up a lot of land to get the water rights. Is there a reason that they can't eminent domain acquire the land to get the water rights?
The state certainly hasn't talked about that. I'm going to be frank and share my view. I think that EBID currently, with this legislature and with this governor, has more political power than the state agencies.
Hmm.
You know, the state has created irrigation and conservancy districts, which use the vast majority of New Mexico's water. They act continuously in their own best interests. Their own interests are often directly opposed to the state's interest and the public interest. But because of the nature of the legislature and the fact that farming and irrigation is deeply embedded in New Mexico's culture, I mean, my grandfathers lived in the Lower Rio Grande. They were brought there by Elephant Butte Dam and the Rio Grande Project. But the point is, they're more powerful politically than the state. And so what we're going to see is a power struggle, and we don't know what the next governor will do, but
yeah.
You ask about eminent domain. I believe it's legal. I believe it is recourse. Remember I said earlier that the settlement says the state has to acquire 18,200 acre-feet of water rights. Well, from my perspective, there are only two ways that the state can acquire rights. It can buy them, or it can condemn them. Eminent domain.
Right, right.
And I would guess that should be a check on the prices that EBID demands.
Well, I was just going to ask, what is the ballpark figure as to what it would cost to if we were just to write the check and make the delivery that way?
Well, the state engineer has told the legislature it needs $150 million for this buyout program, for the 18,200 acre-feet of water rights. And, you know, they're trying to learn from the Pecos lessons, which I'd like to talk to you a little about.
We're down to our last couple minutes, but yeah, go ahead.
Pest control and what you do with a fallowed land and how you keep it from becoming a weedy nuisance. You know, there's a lot of complications there. So let me talk briefly about the Pecos. I was appointed director of the Interstate Stream Commission in 1997, and I was assigned as my primary, most important task to find a permanent solution to New Mexico's compliance with the decree that the Supreme Court had handed down 10 years earlier on the Pecos River. Because the state didn't take compliance seriously enough. And so 10 years later, we were complying with the decree. New Mexico's was complying with the decree, but we were on the ragged edge of noncompliance the whole time. And the state threatened to call priorities on everybody on the Pecos River in order to get enough water through the last dam in New Mexico to deliver to the Texas state line. And rather than the priority call, it brought people to the table. And I was in Roswell every week for almost 6 months to negotiate.
Now we're getting out of time.
The permanent solution.
We are running out of time. I apologize. I hate to cut you off, but we're at the end of the
Okay, well, I'm sorry that we weren't able to plumb this, but thanks.
Very quickly, if people want to learn more, do you have a website or where can they go to find out more information about this?
They can go to our website, New Mexico Water Advocates, nmwateradvocates.org. Or, this is better, they can register for a workshop that I will be speaking and the state engineer's top lawyer will be presenting about the settlement. And I expect that will clarify the state's plans to some degree, but a lot of this is just going to have to be worked out.
And do you have information
on
that?
Walt.
Information on how they could find out about that workshop?
It's on our website, nmwateradvocates.org. It would be the first thing you see.
Gotcha. I'm sorry we ran out of time. There's certainly more to discuss here, but as always, we appreciate your knowledge and you're coming on to share that with our listeners.
Thank you for the invitation, Walt.